Tell me a little bit about King Solomon and his work on demonology.
Oh, King Solomon and the demons. Now, that is, let me just turn the necessary pages, because I've got the manuscript in front of me, and I'd love to run these through for you, because there are so many of them. That,
because he was truly an expert on demons. He was able to subdue them and control them. This is incredible.
Yes. Yes, he very, very certainly was. And as I said, I'm turning pages with one hand here, and I will be right. Of course, there are 72 of them, and I'd like to give you a selection from those 72, because some of the descriptions that go with them are little short of unbelievable. And the
he subdued 72 demons?
Yep, there were 72 in the traditional list of King Solomon and the demons. There were 72 of them, all of whom were very much under his control and were powerless against him. And, of course, Solomon himself would have been the very first to say that his power was God-given. Now, this chapter that I'm trying so hard to find is listed as chapter 13, which seems significant.
Yeah, go figure, right?
And I've got as far as chapter 10. I've got it in loose manuscript form here. So if only we had a camera on, I would have you and our viewers chuckling, because you know what it's like with a telephone in one hand, and you're trying to throw loose manuscript pages over. Here we are, chapter 13. May I read you a short extract?
Sure thing. After what you went through, you better.
Yeah. We've got to have this together. So, according to legend, the great and wise King Solomon, circa 1000 to 930 BC, possessed a very powerful magic ring bearing the seal of Solomon, and that's what gave him the power over the demons. In some versions of the legends of Solomon's power over the demons, this magic ring was called the Ring of Andalib. Using its great power, Solomon captured 72 powerful demons and used them to carry out various projects for him. And they're all well known to Satanists and black magicians, to wizards and witches. Each has a different name and a different range of powers and attributes. There is Agares, who appears in the form of a handsome, mature man. He carries a goshawk on his right wrist while riding a crocodile, which ambles at a steady pace. He has the power to freeze runners in their tracks and to bring runaway slaves back to their lawful masters. That tells us how old this manuscript is. Solomon living and writing in a time of slavery. Agares is also a brilliant linguist, and he teaches languages to his worshippers and supporters. His powers include bringing down the mighty from their exalted positions, so Colonel Gaddafi had better look out, whether they're high-ranking demons or high-ranking human beings. He also has the power to cause earthquakes. Those who can secure his services, as Solomon did in the legend, are well guarded, because Agares drives away the enemies of those he serves. The next in the list, because I did them alphabetically, is a demon called Aini. That's A-I-N-I. A very formidable-looking demon. Although he has a strong male human body, it is surmounted by three heads, a serpent, a cat, and a normal human male, but the forehead is embellished with stars. He rides on a toxic snake and carries a blazing torch with which he sets fires to forests and houses. He gives the gift of subtle cunning to his followers. He will also, if commanded and controlled properly, provide secret information regarding private, closely hidden matters. and we're back to the FBI in 1950. And the flying saucers. He will, if commanded and controlled properly, provide secret information regarding private, closely hidden matters. And the next one on the list is a guy called Allocen, A-L-L-O-C-E-N, and he appears in the form of a cavalryman. He has the face of a lion, but it's very bright red all over. He has a hoarse voice, which is harsh, loud, and unpleasant. Now, he has a great knowledge of science, as many of the demons allegedly have. And I think this legend goes back to the time when the priestly hierarchy were very much opposed to anything scientific. So if somebody has scientific knowledge, they shook their venerable heads and said, must be a demon, it knows about science.
How do we know some of these people who are supposed to be demons aren't just evil human beings, Lionel?
Well, this certainly is a very strong possibility, and that you know how in our everyday colloquialisms we talk about somebody being an absolute devil. If we come across a mass murderer, serial killer, someone like the notorious Jack the Ripper, or one of the more modern serial killers that are sadly filling the media at the moment, then we say that that thing is not human. That thing is a demon. That thing is so evil. And yet, what we really mean is, this is a human being who has acted in such a way that it is as if his choices between good and evil have swung so far to the wrong side that we think of that being as blessed. We say, no human being. Well, we use the question, don't we? We say, well, surely no human being could have done that. And then, of course, it raises all the issues about demon possession. Is part of this evil entity a human being that has been corrupted by some dark, evil force and taken over by that dark, evil force? And I certainly think that if we go back into the folklore and mythology surrounding Dracula, who was originally Vlad the Impaler from Transylvania, if we look at a character like him, who surrounded his palace with the impaled, dying in agony victims of his cruelty. And somebody says, well, this guy's not human. And then from that, Bram Stoker develops the Dracula story. And it is almost as if there are certain beings who have made so many evil choices that to their contemporaries, they are demons. And I think your point there about how do we know that they're not just very evil and corrupt human beings. When we think of the dictators and tyrants who over the centuries have been responsible for unspeakable sufferings of the innocent, then they are almost demonic. And so the confusion between the evil human being and those wonderfully colorful creatures that King Solomon was able to control with his magic ring, I think becomes a very indistinct line.